Would the young people come and join me?
So good to see you guys. My battery's going. Oh, here you go, buddy. There you go. I am so happy to see everybody. How is summer going for you guys?
Good.
Okay, how many of you guys have to mow the grass as one of your chores around the house? No? No? Jack? Jack and Jake? Do you guys? Jake, do you have to mow the grass? No? Is that your job? Kind of.
Here.
What? You don't have to mow the grass.
This is the greatest picture ever. The greatest bomb in the whole entire world. And I was him at the fireworks.
You were him at the fireworks?
Yes.
We are going to have a long talk someday.
But if
when
dead,
whenever
so
whenever minions go out of style, you know?
Everything must go sale.
Then Stacy's having a yard sale. That's what she's saying. Well, you know what? When you mow the grass, do you ever use one of these?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen your dad or your mom or anybody who's mowing your grass use one of these? What is it?
It's a gasoline tank.
It's a gasoline tank. That's right. It has gasoline. And what do you do with gasoline?
Well, first off, to keep it away from fire.
Keep it away from fire. Always a good idea. Yes, buddy.
And use it to refill your car.
Use it to refill your car or like your lawnmower. Yes, buddy. Oh, you use it in fireworks? Well, you know what? I do think that there was a time when they probably did that. You know what? At one time they probably did that, but they're a little more safety conscious now, and it's really not safe, so I would know that would be a discussion you would have at your house, but yeah, it is very flammable. But anyway, when you take this to the gas station, you fill it, and do you only fill it half full? No, you don't. What do you do when you take it to the gas station? Yes, Lucy. You fill it all the way, you fill it to the tippy top. Well, you want to know what? That's what Paul was talking about in the passage that I read this morning from the Bible. I actually was reading a prayer that Paul was praying for the people who lived in the town of Ephesus. That's why the book's called Ephesians, because people who live in Ephesus are called Ephesians. Anyway, and so he was praying for the people who live in Ephesus. So he was praying for Ephesians, and he was praying that they would be filled up to the tippy top with the knowledge of God's love. Now, why do you think that was important? Anybody have any ideas why that's important? Yes?
Then they can go to heaven.
Well, they can go to heaven. Yes, that's true. We're bought by the blood of Jesus. But to know God's love, do you think that might help us live a little bit better today? You know, sometimes in life things get so very, very hard. And sometimes we get very, very sad. And sometimes we get very, very hurt. Now, I'm not talking about a broken arm. I'm talking about hurt in our hearts where we are very, very sad. And it helps us to make it through when we remember just how much God loves us. But, you know, sometimes we only have a little bit of that knowledge. You know, we kind of sputter along in life, kind of like an engine that doesn't have enough gas. But when we remember to the tippy top how much God loves us, then we do okay and we make it okay. All right, can we remember that? Let's bow our heads and pray, okay? Well, Father God, we thank you for your love for us. But Father, you know that it's hard for us to remember just how much you love us. And so we pray by your Holy Spirit that you would remind us that you love us more than even our mommies and daddies do, and that's a lot of love. And we pray that it would help us to face no matter what happens in life. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, over there on the first pew are your goodies. Grab your goodies.
You know, John asked me one time, how can you tell who loves you more, your dog or your wife? And I told him I didn't know. And he said, well, you lock your wife and your dog in the trunk of your car for a half an hour, And when you let them out, you see which one is glad to see you. One of my favorite jokes of all time. This morning, I would ask that you let the Holy Spirit work a miracle in your heart. I would ask this morning that you give the Holy Spirit permission to plant an overwhelming love in your heart for the God who overwhelmingly loves you. We're going to be looking at Ephesians 3, 14 to 19 today. And Paul says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Now, this passage is about Holy Spirit power. I'm all about Holy Spirit power. You know, how can we function without Holy Spirit power? This is about the Holy Spirit and the power that he can give you. Now, typically, when I think about Holy Spirit power, though, I think about, well, the power to do this, or the power to do that, or the power to perform miracles, or the power to change people's lives. But here, Paul is talking about something a little bit different. He is talking about the Holy Spirit's inner power for us, a strength that he gives so that we can know something, so that we can know and understand the love of Christ, which is beyond knowledge, and that we could be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, that sounds pretty clear to me. The goal is to be filled with all the fullness of God. We all want to be full. No one wants to be shallow. Nobody wants to be empty. And then Paul ends with these words, so that you may be filled. Okay, so everything he is pointing towards is pointing towards that end goal, to be filled with the fullness of God. And Paul outlines the progression as he prays before God. He said he bows before God. Why? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Why? So that you might be rooted and grounded in love. And why is that? So that you can know the love of Christ. Well, why is that? So that in the end, you are mature, complete, content, happy, and spiritually healthy, filled to the fullness of Christ. Now, have you noticed in that passage that I read, Paul is dealing with our spiritual well-being. He's dealing with heart issues. He is dealing with the disease. He is not dealing with symptoms of a disease. Now, if you have a cold, if you're at our house, you take NyQuil every night. Knock you right out. It's because it's 10% alcohol. But I digress. Well, if you take NyQuil, it takes care of your symptoms and it helps you sleep. But it doesn't cure the cold. You still have the cold. When you are sick, you deal with it. But what is far better is if you don't get sick. The very best thing for you would be if you wouldn't get sick in the first place, so that you wouldn't have to deal with the symptoms of a cold. You know, in my time as pastor, I can look back at the times when I have been burdened with external issues in ministry. You know, I have asked myself questions and asked the Lord, you know, why isn't everyone serving? You know, why isn't everyone tithing? You know, why aren't we reaching out to the neighborhood more? Why aren't we sharing our faith more? You know, Why are some of our men addicted to pornography? Why do some of our church family not get along? Why are some of the marriages defined by fighting? Why are we holding on so much to our material wealth? Why do we seem to be greedy? But you know, these are all just symptoms of what is a deeper heart issue. The issue of not understanding how much we have in Jesus Christ. If we truly understood how much we have in Jesus Christ, you know, we would look at our possessions and we'd go, you know, this is nice, but I don't really care about this. You know, I don't really care about that. That stuff does not own me. That's what Paul is praying for. He says, I'm praying for your spiritual health, not external things, not physical things. I'm not praying that your arm heals. I'm not praying for that. I'm not praying for symptoms. Paul says, I'm praying about the disease. Because if you really understood the love of Christ, instead of holding on to things in your life so tight-fisted, you would turn your hands over and you would open them up to God. And like the pearl of great price, you would say, you know, the rest of this stuff in my life, it is small potatoes, but man, I have to have me more of this Jesus love. I have to have more of God in my life. That's what we would be saying. Now, as I have thought about this, I see that our problem is one of just not understanding how good God is. I mean, we say God is good, but you know what? Sometimes I think we don't really trust him, you know, because we're still holding on to stuff because, man, if we give it to God, who knows where we will end up, you know, that kind of thing. So we don't really trust God. You know, some of us in this sanctuary this morning, we don't understand the love of God like we should. How wide and how long and how deep it is. We kind of get it. And so we kind of follow God. But if we truly understood God's goodness, it would change us. Now, what did the kids learn in VBS? God's love, in VBS, remember how it goes, God's love is incredible. It is faithful. It is invincible. It is unconditional. And I love the last one. It's real. That's the miracle that Paul is praying for here. It's not a miracle of some of physical healing or some kind of physical situation. It's a miracle at the core of your being that you would understand this kind of love because it is so foreign to us. Paul prayed for it because he knew that there was nothing he could do physically to bring about that depth of understanding. Now, stick with me here. As a pastor, I work really, really hard to bring a good sermon every week. I know some weeks I do a better job than others, but we'll talk about that some other time. And I am working every week to get a really good point across. And what you need to know is I pray for you faithfully. You need to know that. But I have a confession to make. And that confession is that frequently I get so wrapped up in a particular issue or problem that you are dealing with in your life that I ultimately forget to pray for what is far more important in your life. And that is that you fall hopelessly in love with Jesus. Because when you do, the rest of your life comes together like a puzzle. The beautiful thing, though, is that it's never too late. And now that the Holy Spirit has convicted me about that, guess what I'm going to be praying for you all? My primary prayer for each one of you are going to be, Father God, may they know the depth of your love. Lord, make them understand. Help them to get it. Now, Paul says that he bowed his knees to pray. Now, we don't have to bow to pray. But the original word that was translated prayer, you see, is not just a word that is spoken. The original word that was translated prayer actually has a physical component to it. So the original word for prayer were not only words, but it was an attitude and it was also a physical posture. It was a subservient posture. It was an I give up posture. The attitude of prayer is, I surrender. Who am I before you, the king? You are Almighty God, and I bow before you in submission. So Paul bows on our behalf, and he bows before the creator of everyone. He bows before the one who created us and gave us his name, Christian. And Paul prays, according to the riches of his glory, that he may grant you to be strengthened. And the word grant is so key there. Because you know what he's saying by that word? He's saying by no matter how hard he works, no matter how brilliant he speaks, no matter what kind of words he uses, that he cannot make you understand how much Jesus loves you. God has to do that supernaturally by the power of his Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit does that, then you just get it. While we waver in and out of our understanding, the Holy Spirit keeps us getting it over and over again because we get consumed with what's going on in life. And you know, like we have little brain freezes but then the Holy Spirit brings us back and keeps reminding us. Understanding is granted to you. And it happens when you pray in a subservient way. So that means that if you're here, and you don't love Jesus Christ, and you don't understand that Jesus Christ really loves you, there is nothing I can do about that. How's that for a wake-up call? I can't talk you into it. That's something God has to do. And Paul understood that. And he got on your knees, on his knees. Now, some of you young people will know what I'm talking about. You're at school, you eye somebody in class, and you're thinking, ooh, they're mighty fine. And even if you don't want to, you kind of get consumed, okay, out of the corner of your eye with what they're doing, okay? Now, you've already found somebody you don't think like this, but you know how this goes, okay? So you get kind of consumed with them, and you decide, boy, I really like that person, okay? Well, you know what you find out if you are a little younger and you don't know it already? You find out that no matter how much you like someone, you can't make them like you back. You can do really nice things for them, which of course you would start to do, and you could be kind, which of course you would want to do, but in the end, they have to decide for themselves whether they like you or not. You can't make them like you. That's the same thing that Paul is saying here. No one can make you fall in love with Jesus. Nobody can make you. I can introduce you. I can tell you why you should love him. I can tell you why you ought to love him. I can tell you how much he loves you and that he loved you more than your wife or your kids or your mom or your dad or any friends. I can tell you all about that. I can tell you if you're a parent here today to look at one of your children and to think about that child and just to think of how much you'd have to offer, how much you'd have to love somebody else to allow that child to be murdered for that person. I can share all that stuff. You know, I can share that he is crazy about you. You know, and how much have you rebelled against him? And I can still tell you that he loved you in the midst of all that. I can tell you that when you didn't give a hoot about him, that he gave his son for you, that only baby. He watched his son die on a cross for you. I can tell you all about that. I mean, my goodness, what kind of love is that? I can tell you all about it. And then I can tell you that his son got up from the grave by the power of the Holy Spirit and he ascended into heaven. And that what he really, really wants to do is to put that same spirit inside of you, which will change everything. I can tell you all those things. And you know how some of you will respond? He'll go, well, isn't that nice? I can make that introduction to God. But nothing will happen inside of you until, as Paul says, the Holy Spirit gives you a strength to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. The Holy Spirit will let you know something that otherwise you cannot know in your humanness. And then you will say, oh my gosh, I get it. Oh my gosh, I get it. And so I pray this for you, that you would understand the love of God. And I also pray that you would love God more than you love your sin. You know, so many of us spend so much time looking at our outward appearance. Some of us have to spend more than others. I also digress again. We spend a lot of time fixing it up, making it look right, and there is nothing wrong with that. But how much time do you spend on your inner person? How much time do you pray for your own walk with Jesus? And do you pray that God would open your eyes so that you could see his love and that he would fix you up on the inside? Do you spend much time doing that? Now, let me ask you a question this morning, and I don't want you to answer quickly, and I know that you'll really want to shout out your answer, but keep it between you and God, okay? Are you sure right now that Jesus Christ is just crazy about you, madly in love with you? Are you 100% sure of that in your heart? Not that he loves the world, but that he loves you so personally as an individual. Are you 100% sure of that? Can you really come up with that type of security before God? And can you really say, I know God beyond a shadow of a doubt that you love me more than anyone or anything else ever could or would? I know God that that's how much you love me. Can you be 100% certain of that kind of love? So I ask you, you know, some of you are insecure, you know, and you're thinking, well, you know, I don't know. You know, I think he loves me. And I've been told my whole life he loves me. But, you know, like, I really don't have, you know, like, I mean, it wouldn't be something I'd necessarily bank on. You know, like I really still think that maybe somebody else in physical life loves me more. You know, I mean, some of you have that insecurity. So I have to ask you again, right now, are you sure that God loves you? Some of you get the love of God, some of you do, and I praise God for that, and I am so grateful for you because I learned from you. But some of you struggle with believing, and you say, really? Really that much? I mean, I don't give it much thought, you know. As much as the Father loves you, Jesus, that's how much you love me. Oh my gosh. That's the kind of knowledge we can't get from working at it. We can't study enough to have that kind of knowledge. We cannot make ourselves sure of that all-encompassing love. We cannot check that off on the exam of life. Something has to happen through the power of the Holy Spirit in order for us to understand that kind of love. You know, I have had so many people over the years come to me and say something like, you know, how can I help my husband or my wife or my child or, you know, my friend? How can I help them understand the love of God? Well, you can't. Because you can't make somebody fall in love. But you can pray like Paul does and intercede for that person on before the Lord. You can intercede on behalf of that person. I do know that God loves me. And there are times when I am secure in that knowledge, but there are times when I forget. But I also realize that I don't pray as much as I should about it. You know, I pray, I pray faithfully these kind of prayers. God, help me. Give me the power so that I can impact other people's lives. That's a big prayer, I pray. Okay. And I'll also pray, help me, Lord, to be a good shepherd of the sheep you have entrusted to my care. That's a big one I pray all the time. And I will pray, help me impact their lives for the kingdom. You know, I'll pray that kind of a prayer. But that one about the sheep and the entrusted to my care, that's a big one I pray a lot. And those are good biblical prayers. But I have neglected Paul's prayer in my own life because this is what I don't pray enough. Father God, strengthen me so that I can understand your love for me. And do the same for the church family that I love. And strengthen them right now by the power of your Holy Spirit so that they can know your love and so that they can rest secure in it no matter what they're going through in life. Because you see, the key here is security. And that's what I am praying for us this morning. In the crazy world in which we live, security is hard to come by. And it is certainly not something that we should mess around with. Because you don't want to be someone that's going to say, I think God loves me. I think I get the love of Christ. I think I understand about this grace thing. The love of God is something that we all need to be secure in the shifting sands of this world. The most anointed, powerful sermon does not have the power to fix what is broken in you. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. The one thing we can be secure in, the one thing that is the rock that will hold no matter how severe the storms of life get, the one unchanging, unspeakable truth that we can be secure in is God loves us. And He loves us with an encompassing, unconditional, all-powerful love because His love is incredible and faithful and invincible. And unconditional and real. And we can know that we know that we know it when we ask the Holy Spirit, the power that we can always trust, to confirm it in our hearts and in our lives. That's it. Well, that's how I'm going to be praying for you guys in the upcoming weeks. But this specifically is how I'm going to be praying for you. And I would appreciate it if you would pray this for me. That the Holy Spirit would fill all of us with a deeper security in His love. And I'm going to pray that your innermost being will be strengthened so that you can really understand this great love. You know, some of you have friends and coworkers and relatives that you care about very much. And you know that there is an emptiness in their lives because they just don't understand the love of Christ. But you know what you've been trying to do for them? You have been treating the symptoms. And you have been trying in their lives to help them fix this thing or fix that thing. You've been trying to help them get their lives together. You've been trying to get them to quit worrying about their future. But the bottom line is those things are not the real issue. The issue is something supernatural. Their hearts need to be changed. Like how the people in Ezekiel had a heart of stone and what they really needed was a heart of flesh. They need to get the love of Jesus. And we're going to pray that for them. And there are some of you here this morning that are so insecure right now. You know, you really just don't know where you are with God. And you just don't understand His love. You certainly are not there. And you need to pray for yourself. And after the service, I ask you to come and pray with Alan, our ruling elder. And he will pray with you for that. So let's bow our heads and together pray this morning that something supernatural will happen. Because that is the only chance we have. That God would grant you through the riches of His glory to know this love of Jesus. Father God, we pray that something supernatural would happen in our lives. We're not praying for something on the outside, something unimportant. We're praying for what's on the inside of us. We are not praying for symptoms. We are praying for the disease. Lord, clean up our act and help us to know that we know that we know the depth of the love You have for us. And we pray for all of our friends and family, for all those people who would ask us to be Jesus for them. That by Your Holy Spirit, that they would discover You for themselves, because that's what they need, not us fixing the symptom. And we pray it all in the name of the one who makes it so, Jesus the Christ. Amen.